Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we I hope you strap in for this one, because this is going to be a mammoth episode fitting a mammoth collection. And of course, it's going to be our review and discussion about the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band Ultimate Collection, which came out April 23rd, I believe. And Chris, you've had your box set for a little bit longer than I have. Yeah, you're holding yours. Oh, yeah. Mine is here.
Mine arrived on Friday.
You got it on the day it came out?
On the day it came out. Wow. And I dug right in and started getting to work.
Yeah.
Whereas you had a bit of some shipping issues.
Well, yes, I ordered it from a rather famous Beatles festival site.
Hmm.
Yes, that shipped it a bit late. So I got mine on last Wednesday, so on April 28th. So now I even tried not to listen to a lot of the tracks, because I wanted to really just get the full experience. But I did cheat a little and checked out some of the outtakes. But
yeah, the demos.
Yeah, the demos. Sure. You gotta do it. And it's there. It's like candy. If someone leaves M&Ms, you're gonna have a few. I'm gonna listen to a few of the outtakes and tracks on Spotify. But it's
we've listened to everything except for maybe a few minutes of the Yoko Jams. I might have hit a skip or two on the Yoko Jams, but we'll get to it.
Or that button that has a square on it. I might have done that too. But yeah, we'll talk about it all. But we're going to start with the overall set and the packaging. We know a lot of you probably have it, but there are lots of different configurations.
Yeah, first off, there's, of course, as these always come out, there's the big box set here. And then there's the... I think there's a one CD version, there's a two CD version, and there's a inexplicably very expensive LP version.
Yes,
Dave, which doesn't even have, it's got the 11 original tracks on it, and then it's got an outtakes, which I believe is most of what is on disc two here, but it doesn't have the additional Cold Turkey and Instant Karma and Give a Piece a Chance on it. Yet at my local record shop, for some reason, it was $77.
$77? Wow.
Which, even if it's half speed, it better be like quarter speed mastered. Or
it better be virtual that you're in the studio with them, sitting next to John.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whereas this set here runs about somewhere in the 125 range. And I think is probably the better purchase.
Yeah.
If you're purchasing physical material. This, of course, comes with... What do you get with it, Dave? You get the...
You've got the very nice book.
Oh, yeah. Very beautiful book. And I would suggest if you're getting this set, but that's probably one of the main reasons you're getting it is the book.
Yes.
The other main reason you might be getting it is the Blu-ray.
Yes, exactly.
So you get on Blu-ray, you get two discs of Blu-ray, which covers all the contents plus some additional contents. And you get six CDs, which is sort of CD quality copies of what's on the Blu-ray. But the Blu-ray, they upgraded the sound this time, so it's even higher quality sound. And you've got on the main ultimate mix, you've got a Dolby Atmos version.
Yeah.
You got all that 5.1 surround sound. I don't think that's available for the rest of the material. But the rest of the material does have higher quality sound on the Blu-ray than on the CD. So just to be aware of that.
So you've got a lot of listening options here. You can, I was saying before we started recording, I haven't actually listened to any of the CDs yet. I just put the two Blu-rays in because they has all the music anyway. And I wanted to hear it in as best sound as I could. And it's all laid out on your TV. You can easily find everything. So
I thought they were laid out very well, and the sound quality was excellent through my system, at least. And I have a pretty good newer TV, so it has pretty great TV sound. But a lot of people have sound bars or whatever your setup is. If you do have the 5.1 or the ability to do Dolby Atmos or anything like that, I'm sure you're getting even bigger sound. The main remix remaster is also available in the rarely used, probably by people, 3D Amazon HD, and I listened to the whole thing in once over in 3D, and it was pretty great sounding quality there as well. So
a lot of sound options on this album, which I think more than the best thing to compare it to is the John Lennon Imagine set from 2017. And that also had some really good, that had Atmos, I think, and it had a couple other things, but not quite as many options.
Yeah, and I think that the quality of sound on that was not quite as packed, quite as punch as this one did, if I'm correct on that.
Right.
But the book is very similar, almost exact same length, same format as the previous book.
Yep. And it has, the book is, as you said, was really the main reason one would want to buy, because it gives you a lot of the background behind the recording sessions, who's playing on what, lots of the tape boxes and session charts, and then interviews with Arthur Janov, interviews with John and all the people, Ringo, Klaus. So it's great. I think it helped me listening to everything. I was following along with what I should be listening for.
Oh yes. I think it is essential, either to have that book, or I'm showing Dave the, John and Yoko Plastic Ono Band, which is the bigger book. That it's a lot of the duplicate of the material that's in this book, a little less recording information that's in the book in the set, but a little more, say, interviews with Ringo and a lot more pictures and stuff like that. So I think if you've decided that you're dead set, that you're just going to stream and you're not going to purchase the book, you're not going to purchase the $125 set to get the book and to get the Blu-ray quality because you don't care about that and you just stream, I'd say go ahead, buy this Plastic Ono Band book, because it's really a beautiful book, got a lot of great pictures in it, got all the lyrics, got all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't have quite the detail on what's in the set as is in the Plastic Ono Band book in the set.
Well, it also doesn't contain the extras that you get. Also, in addition to the book, you get two postcards, as well as a War Is Over If You Want It Happy Christmas from John and Yoko poster. So
yeah, maybe I'll put that up there. I'll yank down my Paul McCartney Band poster from
until we look at Chris Whitten's career or Wix's career.
That's right.
Until we do the Wix Beatle Friends episode.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's beautifully done. I have to say, when I opened it up, it's high quality all around. So not only is the sound excellent, but the packaging is truly excellent. So, and I have to say, it is comparing this to the McCartney archives, a lot more generous and a lot more, there's just a lot more stuff, I think, in this one.
Yeah, I think so. In it, the set, and I think inherently by its nature, most of John's stuff doesn't have a ton of left on the shelf B-sides and outtakes.
Right.
So it is just the set over and over again, kind of the same set of tunes over and over again. Paul's got all this extra stuff.
That's a good difference. Yeah.
And so getting Paul set, you're going to get all these extra, you're going to get more songs, different songs, but there's got to be a lot of stuff on the shelf that didn't come out in those sets that is like this, where it's like an alternate take or a strip down or a elements mix.
Right. Right.
Of Paul stuff. So it is definitely different. But one thing I really like is the consistency between this set and the Imagine set. Very consistent as to how they're going to present these. And I would assume this would continue with future sets. Well, we can talk. We'll do a guess on that.
Yeah, definitely.
At the end of the episode. But
That makes for a mixed listening experience, probably. I think sometimes, like, I don't know about you, but I'm Well, actually, I do know about you because we talked about it before the show. I think we're both ready to move on to hearing some other tunes because, you know, we did our best Beatles solo or, you know, top Beatles solo albums. This was my number one. I think it was your number two or...
No, it was number four.
Number
for
four
me
for you.
After,
okay. Yeah.
I had Imagine
ranked. You had Imagine before
second,
it.
And okay. Then I had George, All Things Must Pass, number one. On
that's
my
right.
List, but
it's, as we said at the time, and as everybody knows, this is not an easy album to listen to and not to keep listening to it over and over again. It is very mentally draining, emotionally draining, and mm-hmm. musically draining. If you think, comparing it to Imagine, which has much more instrumental variety and has the orchestration, it's got choirs, and just a lot more stuff on it. It's a little less, like I say, draining, whereas I felt that... I love it, obviously, but this is a little bit draining to listen to.
It is, and it's like, it's already raw.
Yeah.
Just the main, the regular Ultimate Mix version is pretty raw. And then it's like, let's see if we can get that even more raw.
Yes.
So at one point we get the just John vocal mother version and nothing else. So it's like, not the easiest listen every time, not the most like fun, cheery listen. However, you know, like you said, always great quality. I'm wondering what you think about the setup that we get on these different. So we have many different versions. We're going to dig into each different version of mm-hmm. the album, but it is pretty much, with a couple of exceptions where we are getting alternate material, not just the album, but the album straight through in sequential order over and over and over and over again. Did you like that, Dave? Was that a preference of yours? Or did you think that a part of what tired you on it was the lack of variety?
I think, on the one hand, it's easy to get your bearings. You can follow along. Sometimes on those McCartney sets, it goes all over the place. You've got to hear, okay, here's a bonus track. Here's an alternate version. It's sort of all helter-skelter, as it were. This one, everything was completely consistent. So you always knew track one, except for the jams and the Yoko disc, is always Mother. Or track two is always Hold On in whatever version it is. So I think it's both... nice, and it's also a little bit tiring too.
I think it's going to be great going forward as the years go on, because what you can do is grab disc two and be like, okay, well, I'm gonna listen to Plastic Ono Band, but I'm listening to disc two version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like now we've got five or six different versions of Plastic Ono Band.
True.
To listen to sequentially as they were, plus the three singles at the end, which sometimes that bothers me, sometimes it doesn't, but here I thought it worked pretty well.
Well, that's a question for you too about this set. Now, on the Imagine set, they also did that. We had Power to the People, we had Happy Christmas, and then I don't remember what the other one, what was the third? I think there was another one.
I think they did give Peace a chance on that
might
one,
might have
too,
been on there, too. Yeah. I have to go back and check. But you had those extra, the singles. How did you feel about these, about, in this case, Give Peace a Chance, Cold Turkey, and Instant Karma being put at the end of each disc?
I thought it was good because of what you're going to want is the comprehensiveness of the material, so that you buy the... If you buy the Imagine set, you buy this set, you buy all the rest of them that'll come out, that you'll have the whole full catalog.
And you won't
have these missing pieces that just aren't there. But I liked, too, that, okay, well, if we're going to put them on there, let's give you a raw studio version of that. Let's give you an outtake version of that, you know. So they went ahead and did the same thing that they did to all the other tracks to those singles. So I thought that was pretty good.
In that case, I think then they fit well, I think, with the time period. It works well. Something that I noticed that I wanted to ask you about too, part of the monotony of listening to this is the fact that a lot of the songs sound the same. That, in other words, that John came to the sessions with them already basically finished. If you listen to the demos, there's not a lot of huge differences between most of the songs. Some of them are different, but most of them are already pretty well intact. So it's just then we're just fiddling with little things or, So I don't know if,
Says Presley instead of Elvis and
I like
that
little
kind of
lyrical.
stuff.
Were you surprised that most of the songs kind of were intact?
No, I kind of actually preferred it in that a lot of times on these sets, what you get is these little snippets. And you get some of that here a little bit, but for the most part, you get the full song, or you get a close to a version of the full song, or extended version of the full song, so that you can have that repeated listening experience where, okay, this time I'm gonna toss on the Elements mix, and instead of it just being violins behind Eleanor Rigby, it's a version of Remember. With some of the elements changed on it, you know? So, yeah, I thought it worked for me.
Yeah, I think so too. It shows that John was really firing on all cylinders at this point. What we talked about the difficult of listening of this, but yet something I found listening to, and we can talk about each of the discs, but the studio chatter, there's a lot of levity. It doesn't sound as serious as the music does. There's John's in good spirit. He made me laugh out loud a few times.
Yeah, that was there, and I think there was another disc where some of that kind of popped up. Maybe it was the Outtake Raw studio mixes where there's some. Oh, and definitely in the jams. When we get to the jams, there's a lot of silliness and him doing a goofy Elvis
Yeah, the
voice for one
imitations.
track, which is just really sort of like livened up the set. I felt like and. You know, considering the seriousness, like you said, of the subject matter, most of the time.
Well, and that's why you need the book because that Elvis one you're talking about, I think I read that the Elvis one was a warm up to the Yoko sessions, and it's like, wow, couldn't be any
Yeah,
different here if we're just imitating Elvis and then Yoko just comes in and wails. So,
that was really great how they, in the book, they'll tell you what it was recorded before, so you
right.
get like, oh yeah, that sounds like they're using the same
Yeah.
instrumentation for God, but they're playing this other, you know, they're loosening themselves up by playing some of these other tracks. And so
Exactly.
but we'll get to that. Let's start though with the, and then we'll end up with some other questions and some general thoughts at the end. But let's start with the ultimate mix. Is there anything, you know, compared to some of these others, like Sgt. Pepper, for instance, where the ultimate mix of that, you're really hearing some outstandingly different things. Did you feel like this ultimate mix was all that different or felt all that different just on a pure listen than those other sets?
Not really, no. One of the things I know that they said, I think Rob Stevens or Paul Hicks, one of the engineers and producers in here, said that Yoko wanted John's voice to be up front and center and much more part of the atmosphere. And that is true. I think his voice has been brought up a little bit. I particularly noticed it on things like I Found Out, which is already a really raw and dirty sound. You can hear him a little bit better. Some of the louder songs, Well, 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 things like that. But overall, is it really much different? I don't think so. I didn't. There's not that much to mix anyway. It's very few instruments. There's not much you can do.
There's a couple little things like you hear that second cookie.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That
Did you hear
you
that?
pointed.
Like after cookie, there's a little tiny little cookie. And then Working Class Hero, I feel like that switch of takes where it like goes to the other guitar
For the third verse, yeah.
was kind of more jarring on this one than it
Yeah.
had been on previous versions.
Yeah.
I'm really pro these ultimate mixes and let's tweak it as much as we can to make it sound as good as it can in 2020, 2021, rather than just like be so beholden to these old mixes that, you know, apparently he would do these mixes, like they'd record, he'd mix them that day, and then that he'd be done with it, you know. So I think, like, you know, having I'm pro these ultimate mixes. I just didn't find that this one was so, like,
revealing,
as mind-blowing as some of the Beatles one, where we've got more, like, Sergeant Pepper, you talk about the difference in instrumentation. There's so much going on with that one, so it was, like, easier to find, like, all these little treasure troves of, like, different, like, new sounds and stuff like that. But this will be definitely something that I listen to a lot, the Ultimate Mix version of this.
Yes,
maybe in 3D on occasion, you know, so it's nice to nice to have it, but it's not as revelatory, I don't think, as
no
some of the other sections are.
No, and part of the reason, like I said, I think it's because it is such a minimalist album. There's very little diversity in terms of instrumentation. It's almost all John on guitar, Ringo on drums, and Klaus on bass and vocals, and that's it. You only on couple, you know, you get some piano here and there, but in a couple of the songs, but it's not a lot. Now, I have to say, and this we'll hear this more in the elements and just throughout, but our old friend Phil Spector, recently deceased Phil Spector, you know, I used to hear people say, oh, I don't really hear his influence on this album at all. I don't really hear any. But I think in this set, I certainly do. I hear it a lot. I hear the slapback delay, a lot of reverb, a lot of echo. And it is there. And it works. I think it works well, actually.
And how about him playing piano?
And, yes, his playing on Love. It's
so
great.
There's a lot of it, too. You get a full... Full Spector playing Love at some point here.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty great.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that, particularly Well, 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 and a couple of those other ones where there's so much of his delay and things of that nature.
You can really hear it, and maybe that's something that's tweaked up a little bit on the ultimate mixes. I don't know.
Yeah. Now let's go move on to the ultimate. So we get a little word jumbly here because it's like, what do I call this one and what does that mean? So the second disc is the Outtake Ultimate.
Yes,
right.
The Outtakes Ultimate mixes. Yeah.
So what I think this is, and so just to differentiate, what I think this means is we're gonna give you versions of the song that are a little bit different, and we're gonna really, like, master them as well as we did the ultimate mix.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So it's not just we're just gonna tack it on and do no work and just put it on the disc.
Yeah.
We're actually gonna clean it up the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a really great collection then of alternate versions, and honestly, I feel like this is where I'm going to spend most of my time in re-listens, because they did a great job at highlighting great versions that have some significant differences from the main version. For instance, on Hold On, you get those extra Ringo drums, a different feel at the end on the back half. That's really cool.
Different vocals on Hold On too.
Yeah, and you get that isolation, you get that double-tracked vocal. That's really cool. On Love, you get the guitar kind of standing out on Love there. And you get God with a different opening, kind of. So the opening in a different way and place than they do. So I think these are really great. I really enjoyed this second disc. I don't know how you feel
about it. Me too. There were like I said, a lot of the songs are pretty similar, but there are some extended versions. So there's I Found Out he starts yelling Yoko at the end of it, and it becomes like a very long jam, which is kind of fun. And then is that the take also that has the conga part, or is that in the Elements mixes?
I think that might be in the Outtake Raw.
Raw Studio. Okay. Because I like that. I really like the conga part that gets added.
Oh, no. Added. It's in the Elements.
Elements. Okay. So not yet. I think the outtakes are pretty interesting. The song Remember, it's one of my favorites on the album, is just all over the place. It's they cannot figure it out. The tempo, is it in four? Is it in two? It's all over the place, and John's trying to explain it. It's really that's pretty interesting. The Cold Turkey, I can't believe we've gone this long without mentioning EC, but EC on take one of Cold Turkey, they're just jamming and trying to figure out guitar parts, and it's freaky. This is a freaky song. It is just scary, and I don't know. There's something about the rawness of it and the starkness and the guitar parts. Just yeah. But I like that version.
When we get to the demos, we'll definitely talk about the wobbly vocal John thing. I'll take Ultimate. Those of you who are listening and want the alternate versions, and you know how I've always felt about alternate versions. I'm like, crave them.
Yeah.
Because you get so burnt out on the original version of almost any song if you listen to it too much. So I really like that. Now, the Elements disc, I definitely wanted to point this out next because I think this is the best they've ever done an Elements disc anywhere. Way better than previously, where you get it's the Elements, so it's like
the string parts
or something. Yeah. So you're like, listen to it once and then you never ever spin it again. Whereas these, they're the full song and they're the full tracks that they used for the final versions. However, maybe there was a part on it that they didn't use. So I found that whereas previous Elements stuff, it's like stripping it down, and they do some of that here, particularly the most famous one being Mother, where they strip everything out but John's raw vocal.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't spin that one a lot.
No, that one's very scary.
But a lot of the others are very interesting. I found out, like you said, at that unused conga overdub.
Yeah.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
One of the coolest, I thought, was Isolation, where it adds that organ track, or it highlights the organ track, and there's no piano on it. So it's really kind of a different sounding, feeling version. And then Remember, which is super extended out to 8 minutes. There's no piano until the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the piano comes in and vamps a lot. And it also has some Jew's harp on it.
There. That was really Jew's weird. I had no idea that John was a accomplished Jew's harp.
Jew's harp class.
You know, we just haven't been able to fill that in recent years. It just doesn't have the same interest like it used to. It sounds very strange when that comes in, that Jew's harp. I think that's the neat thing about the Elements. It's not just, you know, like Eleanor Rigby, or, well, the one that I guess people still probably listen to is the Because version with just the vocals. That one is pretty nice. But this one's better, I think, in a way, because it's still the song. It's just that things are, you know, highlighted in a different way. So,
yeah. So I think in previous, I would sort of roll my the Elements disc.
Yeah,
I'll get to that eventually. But this I really enjoyed it. Double track, and then the song ends, and then the piano comes in, and it's full piano through the rest of it. So that it's like they created these new versions.
Yeah,
and they're all the main regular takes. It's not like a different take or anything like that. So. Instant Karma with no echo and reverb. It's just like a refreshing listen to that kind of thing. So I like that disc particularly well.
Yeah, I think the outtakes and the Elements are done really well here. You know what's weird? There was a rumor I remember reading or something that George Harrison plays guitar on Instant Karma. Well, he does, but I've never heard it. You do hear it a little bit in, like, he's sort of rehearsing it, but it's completely lost in the He's still listed as playing it. Did you know that? Like, had you heard it?
No, I think it's like,
yeah, that's what he was
it's
playing.
It's sort of like that click.
Yeah.
So one of these, it shows up a little bit.
Yeah, but it's real quiet.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, it is real quiet. Now it's kind of hard to once again to part. What makes a raw studio mix versus an outtake raw studio mix, Dave? So it's a little bit harder to talk about these. But I feel like the raw studio mixes are closer to the regular version. So they're less radically different versions that are just as good stripped down alternate takes. So he says that he'll say Elvis. He'll say, it's like it's not going to be like a big left turn.
No.
But there's a lot of, I think what stands out in these are these extended takes. So you get,
Yeah.
I found out, which just lasting forever. There's some oldies lyrics in there, and well, well, well goes on for
Very long.
a month and a half
Yeah.
to me. It just is like way too long.
Yeah.
But the highlight of this one, I think, is Love, which take 37. Which is good. Starts with the piano at full volume, adds the guitar, a nice blend, and then it goes back to the piano at the end and really kind of like extends out the Phil Spector piano there. It's really great sounding. But yeah, you get kind of like lost on like,
Yeah, this
is this, what is this,
right, too a little bit too much. I think I need to spend more time with it and sort of read the notes more carefully when I have a little bit more time. But here's a question for you though, a general question. You mentioned Love and God. They're both takes. They're takes of them with John playing them on guitar. And are you a fan more of the guitar or the piano versions of both of those songs? Because you hear both of them throughout the set.
I think the piano
Yeah.
versions. I do like hearing the guitar version though, particularly if we well, one of the standout things in the Evolution documentary, which we'll get to, is where he's like, this isn't working. I feel dead inside, I think he says. We need maybe put some piano on this.
Right.
And then, boom, it's
Much
piano. And then
better.
it's like,
Yeah.
oh, it's much better. So, yeah, but I like that we hear the different. And
Yeah.
then he was open to different. I think even in that one somewhere, he's like, maybe we can throw a this, like an organ on this and a something
Yeah.
else on that and make it sound different and better,
He was very open, which maybe we're getting probably a selective take, but remember in the Imagine set there was that video where he sort of yells at Phil Spector, starts going off on him and yelling at everybody. Suddenly the volcano explodes. You don't get any of that here. He's not really mean to anybody else. Sometimes he's hard on himself when he can't perform something. Yeah, there's a F in hell in there. Yeah, but most of the time he's very nice to Ringo, very nice. You can hear Yoko talking back and forth on some of these before the song starts, and so he seems to be in a pretty good mood most of the time.
Okay, so just to move on here,
Yep.
you also get the Outtake Raw Studio. And I think what the Outtake Raw Studio is that we get a little bit more unformed, jammier versions.
Yeah.
So I found out it's got that long, long Yoko,
Yeah, you're cool.
with that. Remember is a looser take one,
Yeah.
sillies giggling through it. God take one. On this one, so you get this take ones on a few of these, and I'm sure I'll mix these in on occasion, but probably of all the ones we mentioned, including the upcoming we haven't talked about the home and studio demos
Yeah.
version. I think this would be last place. The Outtake Raw Studio is probably the one I'll spend the least of all of them.
Yeah, I think so.
Jumping over the Evolution documentary to the home and studio demos, solid. I think these are more entertaining than sometimes you get the demos disc of things and they're really rough sounding, Paul with the airplane flying overhead type you know, type stuff. And a yeah. few of these are particularly Mother in Love with a crazy flange guitar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you get some weird vocal sounds too, like we were saying on Cold Turkey. He's got a wobble going, and it's really creepy.
He's really total. Yeah, it's like you gotta like
shake your throat like
to replicate it.
Yeah,
and God's got a real different feel. Mm-hmm. It's like don't believe,
kind of talking it a little bit. Yeah,
yeah.
Do you think I think some of these were released, weren't they, on that John Lennon acoustic set? Or there was some of these I think I've heard before, or anthology.
There have been a few of these have trickled out either on that or on that anthology.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where I've heard them before. Yeah.
So you lose track of all the different sets that have come out. So it's kind of nice to have them all collected.
Yeah.
On one disc, all the demos and all the home studio. And some of these are, like you said, studio demos. So it's like Instant Karma was recorded all in one day. So it's sort of like, well, it's not like a raw demo from 2 years ago
but it holds together pretty well. It depends if you're a listener who really likes the raw sound and kind of the unfinished solo performance, then you'll like these, but they're presented well.
Yeah. And then I like this Evolution documentary, Dave. This is probably, once again, this has been presented, because you do get them once again to get your bearings too. You get them in sequential order, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there, it's a little less so. I think the previous, the maybe imagined version, or was like you'd hear the really raw like demo, and then you'd hear maybe a little bit of studio chatter or a little bit of a interview talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'd hear like another version of it. These, they seem to be more in the studio, and we're getting them talking about, no, play this, Ringo. If you play this like this here, and then Ringo's like, oh, I could fill anything there if you want, you know. So there's a lot more fly on the wall.
Yes, yes.
And a lot more, it feels like you're in there working with them as they're figuring the tunes out.
There's a great moment, I can't remember which song it is, but where Ringo says, so I shouldn't listen to you at this point. And then John says something like, yes, you should never listen to me, or something, or I shouldn't listen to myself. Or so. It's very funny the way he says it. It's like the humor you can tell between Ringo and John is just great. And John, Ringo is very respectful. He keeps asking me, what would you like me to do? How do you want me to play this? And it's neat to hear that collaboration. And you can hear it develop in these Evolution mixes from, like the teaching them the tracks. I think I found out. And then well, there's some teaching it in the studio. And then it eventually starts to improve. And I think it's really effective. Those are really well done. And a lot of Yoko, hear a lot of Yoko's comments saying, John will say, was that too fast? And she'll say, oh no, that sounded perfect. That was good. Keep that up.
Yeah, yeah. I think you really get a sense of like Yoko actually making some contributions.
Yeah.
I don't think that probably was, you know, historically probably has been kind of like completely ignored, that she would have been there all the time, always. Giving him reassurance in some way, or in a couple instances, I think being like, no, you know, it's too fast.
She calls him on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she'll call him. So I think she was a good, she was part of his conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really tell that there, but I Evolution documentary by its nature, you're not going to spend this like every day, but, it's definitely worth giving a full listen to all of them, because I felt, you know, I was listening to these while I was cooking or something like that.
Oh, like a documentary, kind of. Yeah.
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 So it's sort of like listening to an audiobook or something mm-hmm. like that. Okay. So I felt like they did it very well, though. These were the best, once again, the best these have ever been presented, if you ask me. So I'm big on the Evolution documentary.
One last thing about that. The only one you said that sometimes they have these interviews interspersed. The only one that's like that is My Mummy's Dead. We haven't mentioned that song yet. And that one was already in totally primitive audio form. It was recorded on a cassette, so you couldn't really do much to it. But on that one, on the Evolution mix, he talks about the song, how it came about and what it means. And it's pretty hard to listen to. I mean, he's very honest about, you know, what it's about. And so,
they call it a documentary, and I think it is like a documentary, but this version compared to those other ones is more like really focused on working on the song.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas that track, and I think Imagine was more like, you know, snippets of interviews that he'd done where he's like, you know, I wrote this one when I was blah, 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 you know? So it did feel like more documentary-esque, whereas this feels more like really working on the tunes.
Yeah. Developing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Developing. So that's, you know, you've got enough there already. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different versions of the album.
Wow.
Sequence straight through that you could listen to. That's enough. That's why we were really exhausted.
Yeah.
From all that. But to me, it was really nice to get this fun jams.
It's refreshing. You've got 22 tracks, some duplicates, but some jams, and it's a bunch of old rocker tunes like Chuck Berry, mm-hmm. like, you know, Johnny B. Good, which actually he also then sings Carol. So it's kind of a Chuck Berry song. And Ain't That a Shame.
Ain't That a Shame. I really like Ain't That a Shame here. It's he says.
And then there's kind of a fast band version of Hold On. What do you think of that fast version?
Oh, yeah, that was kind of fun. A fun, different kind of version there. Mm-hmm. And you get a couple versions of Lost John, which, you know, we famously used at the end of I'm Losing You.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to get a full John singing Lost John version there. A really hilarious version of You'll Never Walk Alone.
yeah.
Sort of mixed with God there, kind of like really funny.
Hammed
and
up.
Of course, and then that Elvis parody is really extremely over the top and mm-hmm. very, very silly. So it's kind of very refreshing to hear. This one I definitely want to. Did you notice a few of these are titled like Get Back and I've Got a Feeling, but they like don't really sound at all anything like either of those tunes. I don't know where they're getting those titles.
Like very faintly guitar played. It didn't sound like Get Back really to me at all. And then I've Got a Feeling just kind of had the same guitar form, but it wasn't really the song. But I was a little bit surprised to hear I Don't Want to Be a Soldier Mama, I Don't Want to Die. I didn't know that it was played in this session, that it was, you know, it was on Imagine, obviously, but we didn't, you know, you can hear them starting it here and playing it through.
Yeah, that was a surprise too, pleasantly.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a sort of a nice, like I said, after hearing so many times the other album, just like so refreshing.
Yeah, it's a break.
These jams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a little bit of a maybe a hint of what we might get later this year when we get the Get Back.
Yeah.
EP.
Yeah.
I know we'll get at least one, probably two, maybe even three discs full of, you know,
jams and covers and oldies and. Yeah.
Mailman, Bring Me No More Blues,
right,
all that kind of stuff that they famously played in that session. So
So it's worth. You won't go back and listen to.
No,
You'll Never Walk Alone 50 times, but it's good to have, and Yeah, and it gives you that different side of the session. So it's not all primal scream and John being a mess. There's also some fun and levity too.
Yeah, so. And you really get that camaraderie between, particularly between him and Ringo.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Oh. Last but not least.
Last but not least, you don't get this on CD, Dave. Why? I'm cheated. I have to dig all the way into my Blu-ray to get these Yoko jams.
Yeah.
So the Yoko jams, they're the session that they did for the Yoko Plastic Ono Band, which we don't get the real version of Yoko Plastic Ono Band here. Right?
Not on this set. It's been released recently, but not here. No.
Yeah. So maybe they just are like, oh, that's a separate thing. This is just the jams for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that to be a little odd. And then you get these jams, and then you get the B sides from the aforementioned singles.
Right.
So there are a couple gems there. Remember Love.
Mm-hmm.
And Who Has Seen the Wind.
Yeah, pretty.
Those are good
songs. Yeah.
Those are good. Listen to them. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But good God, skip the rest. This is my least favorite. This is probably, quite frankly, and you know me, I've been as big a Yoko defender as anybody.
Yeah, you're open to her music. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and there's approximately Infinite Universe and Fly are good albums, and there's some other good stuff. But this might be my least favorite Yoko thing ever. I think this is the face of why people are put off on her stuff, because mm-hmm. it's just it's screeching while they jam away endlessly and aimlessly.
John tries out every kind of feedback and every kind of technique he can think of. Well, the song Why, where that it jams without Yoko for about, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes or something. Just the three of them. And it's okay. I mean, it's got a cool groove. But then she comes in. It's another 10 minutes.
She comes in with a why, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking why.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also thinking, oh, I shouldn't have smoked a sativa here. I should have gone with a heavy OG Kush.
Because to cut through that.
Now I'm freaking out.
Yeah. I will say it does have one of the best song titles ever, and that is Greenfield Morning, I Pushed an Empty Baby Carriage All Over the City. That is a classic with it that has a tambura loop on it too, which is kind of hypnotic. But mm-hmm. yeah, I couldn't make it through the whole disc. I skipped all the jams and went to Remember Love and listened to the last. And even the Don't Worry Kyoko is pretty tough listening. That the stereo version.
And you get that again in the other jams for some reason.
It's a little rough. Yeah.
I wanted to like it too. I really did. Yeah. I was like, I really want to like open myself to. I heard Andrew Dixon, YouTuber, say like, well, you know, if you're in the mood for it, if you're in the right spirit. I'm like, I don't think I'll ever be in the right mood for it.
No, so it's pretty tough. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty tough. So, but yeah, so that's the whole thing. Now, what I guess the big questions then, Dave, are overall set thoughts and surprises, disappointments, revelations. Yeah.
Well, I was something I would tell people is if you want to hear what John Lennon was like as a guitar player, this is your album. And you get him in so many different ways. And I think that's a big revelation. Now, you know, you knew he played guitar on this before, but not in so many different ways that you can hear in him working on it and the different sounds. And sometimes it sounds really crunchy and kind of like overly distorted. Sometimes it's just beautiful finger picking. There's a moment when he on Look at Me, which uses that Julia, the clawhammer picking. He says, ooh, I need to practice this a little bit. You got to give me a week to play. I haven't done it in a while. So to me, that was a fascinating revelation, hearing John's guitar playing in all different ways. And Also, Ringo, I think, is
Yeah,
amazing.
that well, that's what I was going to say as far as Revelations go is and I know I mentioned this when we talked about this album before. Oh, I think we did a track by track on
Yeah, we
this one,
did.
didn't we? Where this is and I certainly would have brought it up in the Defending Ringo, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite Ringo album.
Might be his
Just
finest hour.
period.
Yeah.
He did just so perfect, point perfect on a lot of this stuff, but particularly the one we mentioned before where that it's got a different feel at the end of Hold On, that it's got that cool extra sort of drums with a different feel. And his versatility and his just like openness to be like, oh, you want to shuffle on this one this time? Great, let's do
Yeah.
that. Or, able to just fill in everything. And he sounds so good
Yeah.
on Isolation. He sounds so
Oh,
great
yeah.
on God. Particularly does doing if he mentioned if John had made his God list of a hundred more, you feel like Ringo would have come up with 100 more different little
Yeah, the
fills
fills and
there.
stuff are
So
so great. Yeah.
yeah, he's not thought of as the fill master, but on God he definitely is. So that's probably my biggest revelation, you know.
Yeah,
Is there
so
anything that disappointed you about this set?
disappointed. I know that's a hard question because how can you be disappointed with this much music and the book and the research and the whole story? It's maybe not a disappointment, but just the in a way when you give so much material, it's overwhelming and it's tiring to listen to. So it's almost too much. Some of those Bob Dylan sets are like that. It's just let's release every single outtake from
Yeah, the
1965 and
yeah, there's the one that's 36 discs
yeah,
long. It's
let's
like,
just here it is, everything.
wow.
Yeah, it's just too much. And this isn't better. This is better than that because each disc has some treatment to it. It's not just taking the cuts and throwing them on. But I don't know. I don't think I have anything specific as a disappointment. Do you?
Not really, just yeah, like you said, it's just so much material. And it just by its nature, I think, in the way they recorded it and how tight they were, there's not a ton of variety.
Yeah, that's it.
There is some, he says Presley instead of Elvis, and he, a couple things like that, where there's some twists on
Yeah.
what you expect. But I'm really not too much disappointment at all. And I'm really. My biggest surprise was that they were going to present the album in its entirety over and over again,
Yes.
which I would have thought on initial look, I'm not sure if I like that, but I did like it. Whereas some of these other sets, when you go like, oh, here's 12 versions of Isolation in a row, I'm like, no, I don't want to hear
No.
it. As a listening experience, it's poor. Whereas now I can just reach in here, grab disc four or
Yeah.
whatever, and
You want to
listen
hear
to
the
the album.
demos or the album
Yeah.
or, yeah.
And it's like, oh,
Yeah.
this is the Evolution versions, great. Or this is the, yeah. So, and I was very impressed by the, like I said, by the particularly the Elements disc.
Yes.
Thinking I was gonna
Fantastic.
get at first, just thinking I was gonna get like these. Well, here's just the piano of God, nothing else.
Yeah.
And no, it's full song on each of them and an enjoyable listen on each of them. So that was really impressive, I thought.
Yeah, so I think the big success is that they did this with listeners in mind. It wasn't just to just throw all the stuff out there and make it comprehensive and get it all done. But they're each disc, because it has the same songs on it, that we're talking about the main four here, have the same, well, four or five, six, well, I guess all the six CDs all have the same songs, correct? They're all,
Yeah.
yeah. So
It's
to
the same songs in the same
same
order
order,
and
yeah. So
yeah.
it is a listening experience then. It's not discombobulating because it's all the same and you know what you're gonna get. And I guess if somebody wanted to, they could make a playlist of let's put all the Mothers, let's put all the Hold Ons, and then put
Yeah.
them all in a row. If you wanted to do that, you
I
could.
almost thought for a second, am I going to have to do that? Because I
Yeah.
know, I forget what previous set we did, but that I kind of did that where I just in order to like comprehend what was there, I sort of was like, all right, well, what's the difference between all of the, I don't know, versions of whatever song it was? I think it might have been one of Paul's sets or something like that. But didn't have to do that here. You just kind of like get like, okay, well, once I wrap my head around, well, okay, what the raw studio outtakes
What they
version
are.
versus Outtake Ultimate is, that's a little confusing at first, but once you get past that, it's you're in good shape. Now, whole set though, maybe you're gonna be like, oh, where do I even start? So Dave, what's a few of the super highlights? Like, oh, if you gotta hear this, you gotta hear.
Well, I think definitely the disc of the Evolution mixes. That would give you a really good overview of the whole album and give you a sense of how the songs came about. I like some of the early versions of the songs when they're really rough, like the Remember Take One, the Cold Turkey Take One, Instant Karma, just kind of getting their bearings and then looking at comparing them later. Some of the Jew's harp and the conga parts are kind of neat to have, like what could have been, the organ, things like that. But so much of it is not that much different. There's not huge big changes, so I think you
Yeah.
just have to like jump in, and any of them actually would give you something.
I want to say the Love Elements mix with that double track with guitar, and then the song ends and then the piano comes in. It just really sounds great. I like the God Ultimate outtake, which is very like the vocals are scratch vocals
Yes, when
on
he's
it,
low register,
But I like it that a lot, and then Ain't That a Shame is really cool. I like that. And then some of the studio mixes are good too. The probably I found out where it just kind of keeps going, and it's like a longer sort of jammier kind of feel to it.
When he
I
goes into
think
the
it's really
50s
good.
songs, kind of.
So I'd say those are. I every time God came up, it didn't matter what disc it was, I was like, to all in. Really enjoyed all of the different God versions. So
Included, there's the one with the two pianos together side by side that is really with Billy Preston and John. It's beautiful.
So boy,
Wow.
I'm
So,
exhausted, Dave. I'm gonna take about a week's nap.
I know. Clearly, I think you and I would both give this one 5 stars for sure. No
Yeah, I
doubt.
mean,
It's, yeah,
it's a
a
10.
10 out of
We
10,
ranked it
absolutely.
before. It's a 10. It's a 10 out of 10 for the set. For the, it's a, the only thing I'm upset about is that price, that vinyl. I can't believe how
77,000.
$75 or whatever. I saw it for on a real discount on Amazon for $63
Oh,
today, as of
still.
today,
Wow.
recording, which is still for
For
two
two records, yeah.
records. I, even if they're, and I couldn't even get a straight answer on some of the sites if whether or not it's in half speed master or not.
Like, what's justifying that cost?
If it is a half speed master of it, perhaps, but guess what? The half speed master of the, now it's a lesser album for sure, but of Flaming Pie with a bonus raw demos disc was only $60. So why is that? Where three discs less than two discs? I just don't quite understand it. So it seemed a little price gougy to me. But
Go with the ultimate box if you can, for sure.
Ultimate Box is beautiful. The other thing, it fits on your shelf right next to the Imagine Box. They're the
Yes, same
exact same
size.
height, same size. I assume And I saw from Andrew Dixon, who had the greatest hit set. If you have any of you have that greatest hit set,
Give Me Some Truth.
Give Me Some Truth. Let us know if you like that one. We never really got it or I listened to it on streaming. It's pretty good, but all of those are the same size. They fit well together. I think they're doing a great job with. The cover has been cleaned up and looks very beautiful.
Much nicer cover. Yeah. My record from the 1970 release is all washed out. It looks like really old photo, but this is very nice and green and lush. Good for spring.
Which kind of, them cleaning up that picture kind of like denotes how they're going to clean up the sound.
Good point.
So really well done. Excellent. Thumbs way, way up.
Yeah.
It's the best of the bunch so far, probably of all of these,
mm-hmm.
all of these sets, but maybe we'll get one, two, three or four more this year, from various artists.
Well, this will be a good test case because now we've seen for many years, the McCartney archive. We know what those are like.
Yeah.
We know now what the Lennon sets, because we've had Imagine and this one now.
Yeah, I think the Lennon sets have been really excellent.
Really good, yeah. So
the McCartney sets, the biggest issue has been just the volume.
Yeah.
It's like, can you keep up with buying all these McCartney sets? And if you missed a few of them, now you're like, oh, what am I going to get? The more recent ones and not the old ones.
Right.
And they've changed, whereas the older ones were a little less comprehensive. Now I feel like they're really getting comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. This is a good test case though for
All Things Must Pass. So that's the next one. We'll see how because the Harrison, as we've said many times, one of our big complaints is the Harrison releases have been so stingy and really giving us nothing as listeners and fans. So this is a chance in the All Things Must Pass set to see what the Harrison estate will do. And hopefully it'll be something like this.
Yeah, I think it will be something like... I wonder how big it's going to be.
Hmm.
Because you've already got more material on the main album than this. So are we going to get a bunch of different outtakes of that? Or are we going to get all this other...
Yeah, that's a good
songs
question.
...songs we have never heard and mm-hmm. things of that nature. So I think we're... we're waiting and seeing what we're gonna get.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 3 discs worth of material.
Yes.
Pepperoni.
You keep forgetting that apple jam.
Yeah. This makes me wonder. Of course, what's this? What's this Let It Be set gonna be? Particularly the jams disc has to bring up to your mind.
Yeah, it's gonna be there. It's gonna
be there. Are they gonna be as good? Real clean, great audio of all these different jams. I hope so.
Yeah, maybe they'll give you a Let It Be without Phil Spector on it. Kind of with elements mix something similar to this. You'll get to see the evolution of a track. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It might be some of the same people involved since they're always at Abbey Road. So it's possible.
Yeah. Giles Martin.
Yeah. He's there. So, and these guys too. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I would imagine that probably, it hasn't been announced, but
no.
It's probably we're talking October.
Yeah, because the movie, somebody, I was listening to another podcast and they were saying, it's weird that Paul said the other day he was going to see just one part of the Peter Jackson movie with Ringo. And the person speaking said, why would he only be seeing one part? Surely this movie's been done for a while now. So, because it's supposed to be released in August, isn't it? August, September? So...
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, strange.
I don't know.
Strange. But we should be hearing, I think, would you expect to hear something about All Things Must Pass next? Because now today's May 2nd.
We'd better.
Yeah.
If we don't, then it's not coming out until like December,
right? Christmas time or
something,
something
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we, I mean, otherwise, we're already in May. It would have to come out in, say, July.
Yeah, summer, midsummer.
Otherwise, you're probably running too close to the other material.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, too, what about those Paul? Because we got, you know, now it's past all the three imagined of everything.
But you,
or maybe not. Maybe there's another, maybe there's a three imagined three.
Yeah. Don't forget that the you still can't get the physical product for three imagined. You still have to, you got to wait, I think, till June or July to get that colored vinyl.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Pre-ordered, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course, we pre-ordered all of it. Every different colored vinyl version of it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, but in all seriousness, I wonder if we're going to get that double set. What are we going to get from Paul as far as his archive collection goes?
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to wonder if we are going to get that double set. With all of this, you know, McCartney 3 coming out the end of last year, 3 Imagine coming out this year. Maybe this is the year that he goes off the ground or something like that.
Yeah.
That's not that double set of Egg and
London Town.
London Town.
Yeah.
That we were expecting.
I agree with you. So. I think it's too much. If we're going to have another All Things Must Pass is going to be big. Get Back, you've got the movie, the recordings, that's going to be big. I don't see how he's going to put together a two. He doesn't have time, I don't think, to. That's a lot of material for two discs. So, I'd probably go with Off the Ground or Press to Play or
Press to Play.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe.
Diving into Press to Play.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, something like that, maybe. We'll see.
How many different versions of Angry are there? You were saying Scary before that this song was scary. Or,
I think Cold Turkey is scary. Yeah,
but I think Angry is pretty scary. In a different way.
Different way, yes.
However absurd.
Yeah,
that one's on there too.
That's on there too, yeah.
Beautiful.
So we'll see. We'll see, but...
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
We're in to review any of it.
Yeah, we'll take whatever comes out.
We hope there's as much as can be out there. But quite frankly, when he releases two at a time, it's tough on us because we have to skip one. We can't do both of them. Right? So we still got to double back and hit our
Red Rose, Pipes of Wildlife and
Wildlife.
Yeah,
Wildlife on vinyl now too.
Yeah, that's right.
I have to do a Wildlife relatively soon.
Yeah,
you know, who knows?
I know it's going to be interesting. But today, we're in early May, so we'll see. In the meantime, you can check out the Lennon Plastic Ono Band Ultimate Collection in all of its different forms. And I know I'll be... I actually want to go back to the Imagine set myself now and reread some of the book and kind of compare it to this set. But they're both essential purchases for all listeners and all fans. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Both of them just like tremendously well done, too. Great packaging. I feel like it's in good hands and... I believe Sean's sort of taken the lead here on a lot of this. So it just feels like it's in the right hands. And what's the next John Lennon thing to come out?
Good question. So if they're going to do another one of these Lennon Ultimate Collections, you could do maybe a Mind Games / Walls and Bridges. I feel like those sort of go together because they're both John productions. Maybe one or the other. I don't know if there's much of a market for a Sometime in New York City box set. I don't know about that one.
Well, I was wondering if they would somehow try to do that in a way that recontextualize, sort of like some of these Paul sets have sort of recontextualized certain albums and kind of improve them. I'm thinking Red Rose Speedway especially probably was the real benefactor of doing a full set where you can get some additional material out there.
Right.
So I wonder if there's a sometime in New York City kind of like comprehensive John and Yoko activist kind of set that you can do in some way. Yeah, but I'm not sure. And then I would wonder if you did a double fantasy eventually, probably not immediately, and probably we would do those other sets before the double fantasy set. But if you did a double fantasy, would it be a double fantasy and
Milk and Honey
Beyond.
Yeah.
Milk and Honey and even Men Love.
Yeah, like, yeah, kind of catching
all that stuff kind of into one big set.
Right, right.
It's like a mother of a blowout, awesome set.
That's a good point. It could be.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, I'm going to predict that there's probably something with Yoko because this sounds morbid maybe, but while she's still here, she didn't have much of a hand in Mind Games or Walls and Bridges or Rock and Roll. So I think they may want to get as much out of her while she's able to help, and with some of with either Double Fantasy or that late period or sometime in New York City.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But I think my prediction is that they will try to do sometime in New York City, something or another.
Oh boy. Well,
but we'll see.
Maybe
we'll see
it'll help.
It goes. I mean, it could improve it. Yeah.
It could. It could.
But I want it. I want. The whole, you know, now that we've dipped our toe this far into the waters, sure, it's the best two albums are the first two.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are, in one way or another, lesser albums, you know.
Yeah.
Although some people on our Facebook page might disagree. So get on our, it's fine. Just keep it nice. And
keep it nice and civil. So.
Yeah, civil.
And, yeah.
You know, people's opinions are their own.
Yes.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we might. Who knows? Who knows what we?
Yeah.
Who can predict this stuff?
We'll see. But in the meantime, go check it out if you haven't already. Either buy it or at least check out the streaming. You'll enjoy this. And thank you to the Lennon Estate for putting together this tremendous package.
Yeah, they really did an excellent job. Their website's great, and it has a lot of great shirts that it don't go on the Lennon website. You'll want to
yeah, I know.
12 different shirts. They're really great.
Good shirts.
So they've been doing an excellent job as far as all that packaging and marketing goes, and they did a great job with this set. And
in the meantime, we'll kind of take a breather here, and maybe our next episode will be something a little less intense. So we'll figure out maybe wildlife would be a good time to do some.
I don't know if that'll be less intense, Dave.
That's true. It might be different kind of intensity, but we'll figure out something. So, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back at you soon with a new episode.